Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is our own Senator Gary Kubley. He's the only person that comes up from this side. I don't know what that means, but he's here.
It means I just got asked a few seconds ago. Shall we pray? Creator God and indwelling Spirit, we come to you today recognizing that we have just lost someone from our midst in the person of Mark McAfee. He worked with us while working for Farmers Union and AFSCME Council 5, but we ask today that you be with his family members and assure them of your care and your love. Surround them with the arms of your people, O God, that they may know in their own experience of your care for them, and help them to move through this time of sorrow to a time where they can again face life with confidence and courage. We pray now for this body and the things that we have to do in the next few days, that we might reach an amicable resolution to the problems before us, that we might serve the best interests of the people of Minnesota and move on to our own lives. In your strong name, amen.
Thank you. Very good job. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Horing, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Wortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. Messages from the House.
This message is on Senate File 2642. Senator Moi, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments and concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2642, a bill for an act relating to legislation correcting erroneous, ambiguous, and omitted text and obsolete references. Senate File 2642 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Moi.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House of Senate File 2642 and that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the Senator's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Next message is on Senate File 2700, Senator Pretner Solon. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2700, a bill for an act relating to health, regulating participating provider agreements between health plan companies and health care providers. Senate File 2700 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File Number 2700 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Senator Pretner Solon, a very brief description of the bill, but more important is what has changed since the bill left the Senate.
Sure, Mr. President. This is the bill that was negotiated between the health plans and the clinic managers regarding their fees and how they're collected and all the arrangements that went into it. And basically, the language is as it left the Senate, except for two small changes. One of them is that said that dentists are governed under their current dental statute regarding fees. And there is also some compromise language that was made regarding collecting deductibles and co-insurance from patients.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Pretner Solon renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House of Senate File 2700 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2700, a bill for an act relating to health, regulating participating provider agreements between health plan companies and health care providers.
Secretary will take the roll. Good work. Hey, all senators voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to.
And Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has exceeded the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the following. On the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate files, 1537, a bill for an act relating to energy. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Clark, Hilty, and Howes. On Senate file 2971, Representatives Hilty, Knuth, and Gunther. On Senate file 3081, Senators Welty, Hilty, and Gunther. And a conference committee of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file 3275. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Murphy M., Wagenius, Morgan, Hansen, and Davids. These Senate files are herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
The fifth order of business is reports of committee. Senator Pogemiller.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the reports of the committee printed in the agenda be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion fails. Seventh order of business is second reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. Next order of business is introduction of first reading of Senate bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. Under motions and resolutions, there's one author's motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, there are three bills on general orders that we'll process, then we'll come and do. There's apparently three or four conference committee reports, and we might do a couple on the calendar. I'm going to try to limit the votes on the calendar, but there's a couple that we need to process, and then we have to wait for the finance committee report, and then we'll be done for the day. So, Mr. President, I'd move...
Before that, without objection, Senator Pogemiller, under motions and resolutions, there's a couple of... motions by Senator Vickerman and Senator Skoy. They want to return bills to the author. So why don't we take those, get them out of the way without objection. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move that Senate file number 2465, number 11 on general orders, be stricken and returned to the author. I'm the author of the bill.
You're the author on that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion carries. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I would move that Senate file number 2614, number 25 on general orders, be stricken and returned to its author. And I'm the author of that bill.
Okay, on the Skoy motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
Okay, on that Pogemiller motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to designate the Saturday, May 8th list, three bills, Senator Youngbauer, Senator Scheid, Senator Vanveer. I yield to Senator... Youngbauer.
First bill on general orders this morning, the number 51 on general orders, Senate file 1770, Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have the proper language. Let's see if I can remember this. When this committee do arise, I would move that recommend for the passage of Senate file 1770.
Senator Youngbauer, tell the committee what your bill does.
Mr. Chair, members, this bill creates a laddered out of poverty task force. What it does, members, is builds on the Commission to End Poverty group that was sunsetted. This is a great bill for both conservatives and otherwise that helps build our poverty members of society up, helps them to... The task force would actually try to figure out ways to increase opportunities for poor and near-poor families to acquire assets, and so they can create and build wealth. How that works, members, is most people have to dump their assets in order to be on certain public assistance programs. Then they have to start all over to create wealth. So we're trying to figure out how we can reset some of those bars and let people acquire some assets so they're never moving all the way back in life and starting from scratch. It would expand the utilization of the Family Assets for Independence in Minnesota, the FAME program. We're looking at how we can provide incentives for assistance for the private sector and financial institutions to actually come out and offer new programs. We know that we need public-private partnerships, other groups and individuals in the community to really help work people through poverty. One of Senator Dill's passions is to provide financial literacy, especially for low-income families, but for all people. This actually would look at new ways to get that financial literacy to groups of people. And again, it would identify, we'd be working on identifying incentives and mechanisms to increase that community engagement to combat poverty. Members, there was no opposition to this. This actually just administratively costs about $2,000 a year. And to the extent that we can come up with ideas and implementations to build people out of poverty, get them into decent jobs, get them to be tax-paying citizens, it benefits all Minnesota, and I hope that you'll support
further
this
discussion
task force.
On Senate File 1770. Seeing none, Senator Youngbauer renews his motion that when this committee to arise, Senate File 1770 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders, number 52 on general orders, Senate File 3361, Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 3361 be recommended to pass.
Senator Scheid, description of your bill.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, I believe that everybody received on their desk a couple of signed materials that I had handed out. One is from the Minnesota Association of Realtors, and one is from the U.S. Department HUD. And describing private transfer fees. These are something that I guess I may have heard about at some point as a real estate salesperson, real estate conveyance fees, but it's not something that we're accustomed to seeing or hearing or knowing about in Minnesota at this time, and it's a phenomenon that's happening across the country, brought to my attention by the Association of Realtors here in Minnesota. What it is, a private transfer fee or conveyance fee is a fee that's it's an obligation that a third party, generally now a real estate developer, attaches to real property by adding a covenant to the title. And so that every time that property changes hands, a fee goes back to the original developer. And it's quite a scheme. On top of all of this, they are now, these things are even being securitized and sold in bundles to investors. It's something we don't need in Minnesota. This bill has had very strong support. It was a late bill, but I think it's very important that we put a stop to this at this point. So I'd ask for members' support.
Okay, any further discussion on Senate File 3361, seeing none, Senator Scheid renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3361 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The last bill on general orders this morning would be number 48 on general orders, Senate File 3043, Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3043 be recommended to pass.
Is Senator Vandeveer, tell the committee what's in your bill.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a technical amendment.
Okay, well,
if you'd like, if I could proceed with that first and then explain.
That's fine. That Secretary will report the A50 Vandeveer amendment.
Senator Vandeveer moves to amend Senate File 3043 as follows, page 12, line 29. This is Amendment A50.
Senator Vandeveer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members, this amendment just reflects a request by the realtors. The term is used in the bill, and that is a trade name, not what we call it. So it just changes that to licensed real estate agents.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, what this bill does is seeks to regulate an entity created by the federal reform of the lending process for mortgages, banks, and those types of institutions. They created appraisal management companies, which now are unregulated and unsupervised, and they interact and supervise, in many cases, licensed real estate appraisers. So to have this entity freewheeling and without any supervision. What this bill does is put them under the same standards, adds many of the same standards and requirements so that they are not working adversely with appraisers, and should ensure that the public is better served in this process. So I'd stand for any questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 3043. Seeing none, Senator Vanderveer renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3043 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, and all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President, members, you might want to stay at your seat now. There are five conference committee reports, and then we're going to do the calendar. And then we will be done for today on the floor. Conference committees will be meeting. So, Mr. President, do you want to work through this list?
Sure. Remaining under motions, take up Senate File 1481, Senator Cohn. Senator Cohn, 1481.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations, Conference Committee report on Senate File 1481, be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Okay, Senator Cohn, a very brief description of the bill and what changed since the Senate last saw the bill.
Mr. President, members, this was a Conference Committee that was actually constituted last year. And I'll be honest, the bill's changed significantly. The bill was a bill dealing with the budget reserve and some budget reform matters that Representative Solberg and I had worked on. We also had some small pieces relative to employment. What the bill has now become is a retirement incentive for members of for state employees, and provides for some additional deposit into the health savings plan for employees who are seeking some type of early retirement. This is a plan that's been worked on with great detail, not only by the employee unions, but by the Department of Management and Budget. Barbara Holmes, who's the Deputy Commissioner of Management and Budget for these purposes, worked under the direction of the Commissioner to promulgate this. And so I think, you know, members look for places where the administration, the legislature, the affected employee units work together in a way to move things forward, and this is a pretty good example. There is not a cost to this that's detailed in the bill. Obviously, if somebody is seeking the early retirement incentive, there does become that additional cost in terms of the health savings plan. But this is something that will be carefully followed by management and budget. There's a report back to the legislature next year as to the utilization. And this has to be done under the discretion of those who, it's called the appointed authority, but those who are the heads of the executive, legislative, judicial, as well as the retirement associations, which are separate parts of the state government. So again, this has been something worked on very carefully through the course of the interim period and into the first part of this year's session by the affected groups, and would ask for members' support.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd like to ask Senator Cohen, my understanding is that that there was a fiscal note on this bill that actually showed it was going to end up costing the state more than it saves. Could he comment about that? And if that's the case, then why would we do it?
Okay, I don't know if that's what he said, but Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, I couldn't quite understand you. Costing the state more than?
Senator Hand, stand up and ask your question one more time, please.
You said there was a distinction between Senator Hamm, between the state, and I couldn't catch the other phrase.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Senator Cohen, I was trying to clarify or understand what the fiscal note said about this bill, that there is a cost to it, and that the cost is offsets any savings that might be generated. So what is could you comment
Senator
on that?
Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, Senator Hamm, the assumption is that the additional cost put in to this, and this is where there are 2 years paid of into the health savings plans of individuals, will save money for the state, because what it does is it is an incentive for early retirement. So if you're talking about somebody who's got the ability to retire, you assume they're at the top of the pay scale. If they utilize early retirement because of this, there'll be a net savings to the state. Now, obviously, at this point, the state is not aware of the utilization. That's why you see in Subdivision 6 of the Conference Committee report that there is a report by the Commissioner of Management and Budget back to the legislature, so we understand the utilization, make sure that the cost is reasonable. But obviously, until this plan is implemented through this Conference Committee report, or through the effective date, we're not going to know. But the testimony that we've had over this year and then last year when this proposal first came in front of us was that this would be I don't know about significant savings to the state, but certainly savings to the state.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. But and Senator Cohen, I think that there perhaps may be over some time some savings, but at least initially in the short term there will be cost rather than savings. And so isn't this just an increase in cost right now that may result in some savings in the future, but we're not sure about that? Is that really what this bill does?
Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, Senator Hamm, I'm going to, if you allow me, to defer to Senator Bach in terms of some of the details of costs. I think the expectation is that it's going to save money. Senator Bach was actually the person who originated this and who brought this to the Conference Committee. In fact, what we've done procedurally is Senator Bach is now actually the chief author of the bill. I was chairman of the Conference Committee. But I know, Senator Bach, I think you've got some of the information on cost savings directly.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Hamm, the work that I did on this last year, and the Senate actually passed a bill that I was the author of, and my bill actually ended up incorporated into this bill, into this conference committee. But the fiscal note that I'm looking at relative to the bill that passed last year would show that in the first year of the biennium, once this was enacted, a cost of about $3 million. Now, it totally depends on how many people might take the early retirement option, but certainly in the next biennium, if the appropriate agencies did not replace the workers, and even if they did, to the extent that new state employees come in at the bottom of the pay scale, there would be savings, certainly be savings in the out biennium, but you know, I mean, my interest in this bill and the reason that I authored it is we're in some very austere budget times. And it is a certainty that public employees are going to be losing their jobs. And we all know what the unemployment situation is out there. And it just seems to me that rather than take our young state employees that have little seniority and put them on the unemployment line with, really, we all know, there are no help wanted signs out there, with little likelihood that they're going to get another job, we end up putting them on unemployment. The state ends up with additional incurred costs there. It seems like the reasonable thing to do is to take state employees that are eligible for retirement and try to incent them to retire. It seems to me that most employers out in private industry, this is what they do. They provide some kind of an incentive to encourage their older employees that are eligible for retirement to exercise that option. And there certainly, there may be, Senator Hanna, short-term cost, but I would argue under this, the only cost the state is incurring here is the cost of providing health insurance to those employees that exercise the retirement option. If they stayed employed, we're still going to provide health insurance for them. So I'm a little uncertain whether there really is a cost to this at all. If those employees stay in our employment, we're going to provide health insurance for them. I mean, the only way that it costs something is if we replace those employees and incur new health insurance obligations. But but certainly if they stay in our employment, we're going to have to continue to provide health insurance for them. But members, I think, I really, you know, we all have public employees that live back in our districts, and we all understand what's going to be happening in the next budget cycle, and there's a lot of pressure on all of our state agencies. In fact, I think the budget bill that Senator Cohen's going to be bringing to the floor, I believe, next week, is going to have additional cuts in state agencies that's going to create additional layoffs of public employees. It just seems like those that are eligible for retirement, we ought to try and make some effort on our part to allow them to exercise that. And this is very small. This is only a little stipend of health insurance. I think all of our private employers out there create some kind of a severance package, many of them 6 months of salary or more. This doesn't do that. This just puts some money into their health care savings account to help them to provide health insurance, to maybe build a bridge to when they might be eligible for Medicare. And members, I really think this is the right thing to do. I think the board should be all green on this. The option is that our younger state employees are going to end up on the unemployment line as we downsize the number of public employees we have in our employment.
Senator Hatt.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I'm looking at the fiscal note. This is a fiscal note for this bill from April of 2009. It shows the impact over fiscal year 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Does not show any savings at all. It shows cost to the state to do this. So I understand the argument that there may be, if there are not people who are rehired, and if they are rehired, and so, there are certain assumptions that if they do happen, maybe there will be a saving, but the fiscal note shows cost. Now, we had a big debate here the other day about the pension plan, which is a big cost. And we had offered an opportunity for this body to accept a different approach to that that would have significant savings going out into the future. And that was rejected on a pretty much party-line vote. I just don't know why we would do this if there is no savings that is shown in a fiscal note, and there is an assumption that maybe someday there will be, but it's not clear by the fiscal note that there is. And so, members, I'm questioning whether or not this is really fiscally sound.
Further discussion. Senator Bach.
I mean, Mr. President, Senator Hahn, let's just be clear about one thing in here. The fiscal note that we're looking at, based on last year's bill, provided a three-year health insurance for employees that were leaving employment. The bill that's in front of you today that was negotiated out with the governor, and as far as I know, I mean, I've talked to the Commissioner of Management and Budget. He's comfortable with the language in here. The governor intends to sign it. It is not the same program as in the fiscal note from a year ago, because there is 2 years of health care provided in this bill, not three, like was carried in the bill that passed the Senate a year ago.
Further discussion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a comment, maybe Senator Bach can answer this. The public is watching to see what we're doing here with this budget, obviously, and I'm wondering if the perception is going to be, you know, we can talk financing back and forth, and we can talk, you know, that's a good thing that they've done this. They've worked for us for many years, and they have something coming. They have a retirement coming, a pension coming. We all know about that. Is the public not going to look at this as kind of a bonus? Maybe these people are already thinking about retiring, and now when we don't have even enough money to fund our pension plans or the folks that are in need, and we're actually giving these people a year and a half bonus, I'm just wondering if that isn't what the when the folks go through the muddy water here, and that's what they eventually come up with as far as logic.
Further discussion, Senator Roebling.
Would the author yield?
He will yield.
I'm looking at this and trying to figure out if somebody was 63 years old and their retirement would have come in 65, and so they are now going to retire at 63. Do they get a partial pension? and the bonus of the 2 years' worth of health insurance. I mean, they would get a pension, I'm assuming, but it would be a little less than it would be if they retired at 65. Is that a correct assumption?
Senator Cohn?
Mr. President, Senator Roebling, that would be a correct assumption as far as I know. And I think members should be aware that when Senator Bach first presented this proposal, he had done a lot of work on it. I think Senator Bach would agree that management and budget had some significant concerns about the cost. And that's why I suggest that this has been worked on very carefully over these last number of months so that, you know, to more directly answer your question, Senator Roebling, yeah, there's a diminishment in the pension. The retirement of the employee who could continue to work for several years if the person so chose, so a savings of that salary, and in lieu of that, they get this slight increase added to the health savings plan. So it would seem to me it's a win for everybody in that respect.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
I'm just wondering if there are safeguards in here that would prevent someone from retiring 6 months before their normal full pension would kick in, and then they get 2 full years worth of health care benefits. Does it have to be a 2-year gap approximately for the early retirement? Would they have to retire about 2 years before? I don't see it in here. I was just reading it. I'm trying to understand if that would ever happen.
Senator Cohn?
Mr. President, Senator Roebling, that would be the anticipation. But let me direct you to Subdivision 3, which says that provision of an incentive under this section is at the discretion of the appointing authority. So there's still some discretion for implementation of this. So if all of a sudden, I mean, we can assume, remember, the appointing authority is in the executive, legislative, or judicial branch. So we're talking about the governor. We're talking about the governor's designee, the commissioner of management and budget, and the appropriate assistant or deputy commissioner. If it appears that this has become a scam, there's the discretionary ability to do something about that. And then that's coupled with the report back to the legislature next year. So there are safeguards in this bill. And I can only emphasize again, Senator Roebling, this is something that was worked out very carefully between the administration and the affected groups. This is strongly supported by Governor Pawlenty's administration. And I don't think they would go ahead with something that they thought would be subject to people trying to take advantage of the system or this new proposal. At least that's not been my experience with management and budget. I can tell you, this is a general comment, whatever political or ideological differences we might have, I've never failed to be impressed by Governor Pawlenty's finance folks.
Further discussion, Senator.
Mr. President and members, I think what we've seen happen in the economy over the last several years has made everybody that's close to retirement think twice about retiring. And one of the things that's going on with our education system is that we have teachers that are not retiring because of the education costs. Because of the healthcare costs, people cannot retire they're not using the rule of 90 because they can't afford to pay the health insurance. And it's postponing a lot of those retirements that normally would have in a few years past have occurred. It actually would, I think, be good if this kind of provision could be extended to our school districts. If you think about it, the salaries that teachers receive at the top end of the ladder are significantly higher than those teachers that are coming in at the bottom, or the new teachers. And yet, with a little bit of help, maybe a provision that would give them 2 years of health insurance coverage, many of those teachers that could retire would retire, and it would save our school districts quite a bit of money. We've been tracking the education costs or cuts that some of our districts are doing, and we have about 70 districts that we've accounted for, and it's well over $150 to $170 million that those districts are cutting out there. Many programs where they're issuing pink slips, and the pink slips aren't going to those teachers at the bottom end or those teachers, I mean at the top end, those high cost teachers. They're going to the younger teachers that are less expensive and really our future in our education system. So I think with the economy the way it is, this will generate a savings. And if it was available, let's say to our education system, I think you'd see significant savings to our districts out there.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Cohen yield?
You yield.
Well, Senator Cohen, I'm looking at the board. It says relating to the budget reserve, and I was with you on that. We should be talking about the budget. We should be talking about the budget reserve. I appreciate Senator Cohen's comments about working with the administration. And I think in a vacuum, this might make some sense. This bill on its own, as it has changed and transformed over the last year, might make some sense. But it is May 8th. Not much that we do in this last week of session is in a vacuum. What have we done this week? We've raised pension costs. The state will be paying more for pensions. This bill now raises retirement costs. We're going in the wrong direction, Senator Cohen. I now understand that coming up the stairs to the Senate floor is a tax increase. So where are we going here? I'd really like to see the chair of the Senate Finance Committee bring a complete budget to the Senate floor that has as much agreement from the Commissioner of Finance, of Management and Budget, as he claims that this little piece, that this little bill does. But members, we're not in a vacuum. It's the next to last weekend of session. We have a lot of budget balancing to do, and we're going in the wrong direction.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Cohen renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations of the Conference Committee on Senate File 1481 be now adopted. The bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1481, a bill for an act relating to state government finance authorizing retirement incentives for certain state employees.
Senator Limmer, before the vote.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Buck, I didn't really think I was going to get up and speak on this issue today, but you made a comment that kept gnawing at me, and you said that the younger workers would not have an opportunity to remain on their jobs. You know, we had, if this was not passed, I understand that logic, but nevertheless, we seem to be going down the same path as business as usual with our state employees, that if we run into a budget crisis of some sort, the way we do things in the state of Minnesota is we get the shortfall in the funds causes a need to fire people, to lay them off. And the way the current establishment and the way of labor, at least the labor representatives, it just means that we throw the young people under the bus. And, you know, we did have that discussion during the ratification of contracts a few weeks ago. I had an amendment that would maybe take us in a different direction. Perhaps maybe if everyone took a little cut in pay if in these crisis times, everyone could keep their job. Everyone could keep their health insurance. And and that would continue the stability in people's homes, those who work for government and work for the state. I think that's a good way to do it. This this brotherhood and unity talk that we hear all the time from labor unions really doesn't ring true when there's a shortfall in income, because then they throw the young people under the bus. I just don't think that's the right way to treat our state employees, and I wish we, instead of going down The justification for this bill is to anticipate doing exactly that time-honored practice of doing exactly that, laying off people. There are other ways to be flexible to keep our state employees employed during bad times. You look at the private sector, they're doing that all the time. The layoffs is the last option that they employ, and they try to make things their employees realize that maybe with a little cooperation from everyone involved in it, everyone can at least keep a job during bad economic times. So I'm just concerned that during a budget crisis, we the government seem to think that business as usual is the way we should continue to go. And these are going to be difficult times. I don't think that we're going to get out of this mess on the economy, especially if government keeps spending the way it does on the federal level, running up deficit after deficit. And we, too, in state government, have a responsibility to do this in a practical way. Turning away from the practical options and giving flexibility to administrations and unions to consider this and reinvent the solution a little different way, I think is something that we have to do. Because next biennium, I don't know how we're going to do it, because then we're going to have to lay off even more people. I don't think that's a wise way to go, and I think there's other ways to handle it. I'm just sorry to hear that the mindset still is younger people are going to be thrown under the bus. It's even written into the logic of the labor union, AFSCME 5, and it's just, if I was a young worker in AFSCME 5, and I was a member of AFSCME once, many years ago, and to think that they still haven't changed and still haven't seen the reality of economic conditions and that there are options, it saddens me that we still justify passing a bill based on the old logic of doing exactly that.
Secretary will take the roll.
Present.
Senator Hamm.
Mr. President, thank you. Before we vote, members, I just would like to remind everyone that a short while ago in Washington, Democrats passed a very large health bill that we were told was going to take care of all the problems with health costs, and it was going to make health insurance affordable for everyone. It really makes me wonder why we need to do this since we've already solved it in Washington.
Hey, Senator Bach, then we're going to vote.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Senator Limmer, I don't think it's quite fair to say that public employees don't understand the gravity of the state's budget situation. You know, they did last year. They asked me, the state bargaining unit for public employees, negotiated a two-year wage freeze. A two-year wage freeze. I thought that was the right thing for them to do, and they responded and did that along with the administration. So I don't think it's fair to say they don't understand the situation. Clearly they do, or they wouldn't have agreed to freeze their wages for 2 years.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bach, I didn't say that the union didn't understand. I said it's sad that they're going down the same solutions that they have for decades. And, you know, when you compare the difficulties of our state employees with the private sector jobs where people are cutting their salaries 10, 20, 30% and taking hours off and furloughs to keep some kind of income coming in to their home so everybody keeps some kind of job going, that's what the private sector is doing. But if you're a public employee, we'll take the first 5, 10, or 20% of our younger workers, our younger state employees, and the way this is written, the logic that's accepted, the words out of your mouth today is basically saying we don't have any options except take the younger workers and lay them off if there's a shortfall. We've got to change that. We have to be a little more sensitive to the needs of these young families.
We'll take the roll. Having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. 46 ayes and 13 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next conference committee report will be Senate File 2427. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 2427 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator, a brief description of the bill and what changes were made to it since it left the Minnesota Senate.
Mr. President, members, this bill was a bill brought to the Judiciary Committee by the Minnesota State Bar Association probate lawyers. It was intended for most of the bill to establish a process, what's called intestacy, that is, when somebody dies, where does the property go? And there's just a lot of gaps in the law that were not quite clarified. And they tried to deal with it in adoption and surrogate parenting and so forth. They did not want to make any new law. They just wanted to clarify what they understood the state of the law to be. It also had some provisions dealing with the appointment of emergency conservators. The bill was heard in deadline week in the Judiciary Committee, and they actually brought in an amendment dealing with something called the generation skipping tax, which is an internal revenue tax. It's used for estate planning purposes. It expires this year, and because there's some uncertainty how some of these probate documents are to be construed, we put that in the bill. Unfortunately, the bill then should have gone to the Senate Tax Committee, and it did not, because it had an issue dealing with tax issues. So when it went to the other body, it did go to the House Tax Committee. Our Senate Council for Taxes has looked at the language that's in this bill. They've determined that the language actually does work quite well, and in fact, Senator Bach's bill that we debated yesterday had a similar provision in, but they've decided this language is better, so that's why Senator Bach has his provision deleted out of his bill, and it is in this bill, even though it is a tax issue dealing with generation skipping tax. It doesn't raise taxes. It just determines how to interpret people who use this provision for their estate planning. Other than that, there were two minor differences in the bill. One deals with the definition of a birth mother, and there was some concern in the other body. Again, this is clarifying people who die without a will where their estate goes. And it wasn't quite clear that a birth mother could actually give birth to a child. The father of the child, maybe her husband, might die, and she remarries, and her new husband adopts the child. And there was some concern that under current law that actually would cut off the rights of the child to inherit from his own mother, even though that there has never been a change in status there. So they wanted to clarify that it would include the birth mother of a genetic mother and assisted reproduction, however it happens. And as I say, that was consistent with what we had in the committee. They also made a very minor technical change on page 10, line 24, and that's dealing with adoptee and adoptee's genetic parents. They just wanted to, if a child is adopted, that means that the child would adopt from the adoptive parents and not from the genetic parents, simply because that's adoption, unless, and there's a number of exclusions of which I had previously discussed, and they just said unless it's otherwise decreed by a court, which usually trumps everything else anyway. So, Mr. President and Chair, as I say, it was more technical things that we wanted to clarify. The generation skipping tax issue that has been clarified. I stand for any questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 2427. Seeing none, Senator Betzel renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations of the Conference Committee report on Senate File 2427 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2427, a bill for an act relating to property held in trust, clarifying status of certain distributions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll.
Thank you.
All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The next conference committee report at the desk is Senate File 2737. Senator Scogin.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 2737 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator Scogin, a brief description of the bill and what changes were made.
Well, there was a lot of similar and same language in the bills between the House and the Senate. There were a few things that I think members should be made aware of on provisions that were different. We took House language on the permitting efficiency goals and reports. The House had a little more technical stuff, and we took that. We also took House language on our tree care and tree trimming company registration, changing some of what would trigger the penalty portion of that. Ethanol mandate modification came from the House. Also had some minor technical changes in it, and we accepted their language. Also, the House had a provision where the Secretary of State would be allowed to offer farmers ID numbers rather than using their Social Security numbers, a little protection for farmers so that their Social Security numbers didn't end up out on the Internet someplace when they were filing for some of their reports. So we had a few reports that the House had brought forward that the Senate did not have, and we agreed to those with the exception of the stray voltage report, but the Department of Agriculture agreed to go back and try to work out some of those. In the veterans, in Article 2, the veterans portions of this bill, veteran preference in teacher hiring and the teacher dismissal provision was all accepted, and that was House language. Also, the veterans preference in the dismissal of public employee. And then there was some a bit of discussion on the veterans cemetery planning. The Veterans Administration is certainly moving forward on trying to site some other cemeteries for veterans around the state, southeast, northeast, northwest, and southwest. And there was some language in there that was specific to some sites, and we cleaned it up to make it a little more regional.
Any further discussion on Senate File 2737? Seeing none, Senator Scogin renews his motion that the foregoing... Excuse me. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just reading through this conference committee report. I just had a question for Senator Scogin. I'm not familiar with the Section 19 that relates to the Federal Clean Air Act waivers, and maybe I missed your explanation. Could you just tell us what that is and whether that was in the Senate bill, please?
Senator Scogin.
Mr. President and Senator Anderson, to the best of my recollection, it was not in a Senate provision, but there was some language in there that as we move forward with higher levels of ethanol in our fuels, we need to kind of set the stage for service stations to fall into compliance. So we're allowing ethanol mandates to be modified so that it includes all cars. We had some dates in there. Certain model cars were not included, so we're going to include all cars. We're also going to let the commissioner set some of the timelines to meet those standards when they come out. As they come out from the federal government, we're going to allow the commissioner to kind of set up the pathway to get there.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Scogin renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations of the conference committee report and Senate File 2737 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary, give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2737, a bill for an act relating to state government clarifying certain livestock compensation provisions, regulating and classifying certain data, etc.
Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. Chair.
Before that, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Would Senator Scogin yield for a question?
He will yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator, I'm not sure you can answer this. I know we had talked about it with Senator Scoy. Maybe he can with regards to the biodiesel situation we ran into last winter. We were going to be doing something about that. Where is that at now?
It's not in this bill, Senator Ingebrigtsen, and Mr. President. It is in another bill, however, where we are monitoring, for better use of term, the gelling effect of some of those biodiesels, and they are doing some research and going to get us a report on that. Gonna get us? Apologize for that poor language.
Secretary, we'll take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. I mean, 60 ayes and 0 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Next conference committee report at the desk is Senate File 2790. Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair, I move that the foregoing recommendations, Conference Committee Report, and Senate File 2790 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Okay, Senator Moy, a little description of the bill and the changes that were made since the Senate last saw the bill.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the miscellaneous juvenile provisions bill that we took into conference. It had a number of different senators' bills in it. We're bringing back the Senate bill without Senator Ress's language and school safety, the school safety bill, because that's now law. It doesn't have Senator Latt's bill relating to juveniles in adult facilities, because that conference committee report was voted on yesterday. And we removed my bill relating to the 180-day state of adjudication. Unfortunately, as much as we tried, we also were not able to bring back Senator Dill's two provisions, the one on educating young people about the potential collateral consequences if they end up dating somebody who is a lot younger than them. And then we also were not able to bring back the provision on lengthening the age difference between our young people. I'm very, very sad that we weren't able to do that, but the House just won't go for it. I want to thank Senator Dill, and I want to thank Senator Latz for working so hard to help bring this conference committee to a closure.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Moab renews her motion that the foregoing recommendations of conference committee report on Senate File 2790 be now adopted, and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2790, a bill for an act relating to public safety, modifying provisions related to certain juvenile records, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes and 14 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next bill on conference committee report at the desk is Senate File 2974. Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 2974 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, discussion of the bill and what amendments were added or subtracted, Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a health information exchange setting up a state regulatory framework. It left the Senate, and the House did take up Senate language, which made it much easier. They did add a couple of amendments on the House floor. We took one of them, which was fairly non-controversial, regarding to clearinghouses and our Administrative Simplification Act. It simply says that if a provider sends in a record, a bill, and the clearinghouse loses that bill, and the provider can demonstrate that they sent that bill, they are not considered an untimely submission. There was no controversy regarding this, and we accepted it. Other than that, it's the Senate file. I'd appreciate
further discussion on Senate file 2974. Seeing none, Senator Lurie renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations of the Conference Committee report on Senate file 2974 be now adopted, and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file 2974, a bill for an act relating to health, amending provisions for electronic health record technology.
Secretary will take the roll. Third reading. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be 46 ayes, 12 nays. The bill is passed. Title agreed to. Remaining on motions, reports of committees.
Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred Senate File 2567, a bill for an act relating to human services, modifying a nursing facility rate provision, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass. And Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred House File Number 2037, a bill for an act relating to state government, moving appropriations of general fund dedicated revenues to other funds, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass.
Senator Porgemiller.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the committee report just read by the Secretary.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator.
Mr. President.
Second reading.
Senate File 2567.
Second reading.
And second reading of House bills, House File Number 2037.
Second reading.
Mr. President, then members will finish today by doing the calendar, and I move that we take up the Senate calendar and waive the lieovers.
First bill on the calendar. Oh, do y'all want to do this? No. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Chairs in doubt. Motion prevails. One on the calendar is House File 3660. Chief Author, Senator Latz. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3660, a bill for an act relating to claims against the state, providing for settlement of certain claims.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and one nay. Bach votes aye. Being 59 ayes and one nay. Okay, Vickerman votes aye. Get the Jim. 60 ayes and one nay. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Number two on the calendar is House File 2612. This is a Senator Betzel bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2612, a bill for an act relating to civil commitment, clarifying civil commitment venue.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. The title agreed to. Number three on the calendar, Senate File 2682. This is Senator Erickson Rope's bill. Secretary will give the bill. Senator Senja.
Mr. President, we just passed an Ag and Vets Conference Committee report which called for the Department of Veteran Affairs to locate a cemetery site in southeastern Minnesota. So it seems to me this conflicts with that from the standpoint of the conference committee report. And it would seem to me that, well, simply it conflicts with it. I think we ought to leave the Department of Veterans Affairs to make this decision, not designate it for any specific county.
Give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2682, a bill for an act relating to veterans authorizing funding for a veterans cemetery in Fillmore County.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes, 15 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Number four on the calendar is House File 3056. The Senate Chief Author, Senator Lori. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3056, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying provider peer grouping timelines and system.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary close the roll. We had 51 ayes and 9 nays. Bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Number 5 on the calendar, Senate File 3318. The Chief Author, Senator Dibble. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3318, a bill for an act relating to state government opposing a threshold value before notification of certain legislators is required for disposal of certain state-owned buildings.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Title agreed to. Number 6 on the calendar, Senate File 2725. Senator Moi is the chief author. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2725, a bill for an act relating to public safety, establishing a certification process for multi-jurisdictional gang and drug task forces.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary close the roll. Being 61 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Number 8 on the calendar, Senate File 1659. Chief author of this bill is Senator Higgins. Secretary will give the bill its third reading. Get the wrong number 8, which is okay, now we got it. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1659, a bill for an act relating to eminent domain, modifying definition of public use.
Secretary will take the roll. Zeke, we can't take a roll. Senators, having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 38 ayes, 23 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. We're going to skip over the ninth bill. Senator Rosen has been excused. Number 10 on the calendar is Senate File 2839. Chief author, Senator Scheid. Secretary will give the bill its third reading. Third reading.
Senate File 2839, a bill for an act relating to commerce, regulating various licensees and other entities.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes, 0 nays. Bill is passed. Title agreed to. Number 11 on the calendar, Senate File 2430. It's also the Senator Scheid bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2430, a bill for an act relating to mortgages requiring certain notices related to redemption rights be made to a mortgagor.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary, close the roll. It's 61 ayes, 0 nays. Bill is passed. Title agreed to. Now the last bill on the calendar, it's number 12 on the calendar, Senate File 2170. Senator Scheid is the chief author. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2170, a bill for an act relating to real property, providing for mediation prior to commencement of mortgage foreclosure proceedings on homestead
Secretary,
property.
We'll take the roll. Didn't do that. Excuse me, there being 52 ayes and 9 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to move a brief recess for the purposes of opening conference committee.
On the motion for a brief recess, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands in recess. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I believe there's a privilege report at the desk.
There's a privilege report at the desk.
Senator Pogemiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on: Senators Moi, Chaudhry, Ingebretson, Rest, and Scogin. Senator Pogemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, Senator Roebling is going to make a motion. Remember there was a confusion on whether it was 8 or 9 on the board just now? She thought she was voting on the other bill, and so she wants to switch her vote. We just voted on it about 2 minutes ago, so I think that would be appropriate. So,
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having voted on the prevailing side, I move that Senate File 1659 be reconsidered.
Yeah, on the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. What bill is that?
Mr. Chair, this is Senator Higgins' bill on the use of eminent domain for abandoned property. And I really thought that we were voting on the Rosen bill, because at first it was put up on the screen and I never re-looked at it to realize that that was not the one we were voting on. So I was just very confused, and I would like to have my vote changed.
Well, Senator Roebling, you're absolutely correct. It did show Senator Rosen's bill up there at one time. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1659, a bill for an act relating to eminent domain, modifying definition of public use.
Secretary will take the roll. This is the Higgins bill. Take 38. We're waiting for a conference committee to return. All senators. Having voted, who desire to vote? Secretary, 34 ayes, 27 nays. Bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, members, we're done for the day. The conference committees will all be meeting today and tomorrow. Remember, there's a midnight deadline tomorrow night for conference committees. We will come back at 9 a.m. on Monday, and there is a majority caucus immediately following recess, or meeting following adjournment now, in room 112 with Joe Roulette. So I would hold for announcements. I think Senator Anderson had an announcement.
Senator Saxhawk.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Conference Committee on Energy, Natural Resources, Environment, and Legacy will House File 3275. We'll meet in 107 at the call of the chair, approximately 1:30.
Senator Sedgwick.
Mr. President, would the majority leader yield?
He will yield, Senator Sedgwick.
And once again tell me, because I was visiting with Senator Ingebrigtsen, when are we going to convene on Monday? 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Mr. President, Senator Pogermiller, are we going to convene in caucus?
Yeah.
Might that be the plan? Recess?
I think that's what you said.
Senator Sedgwick, we will allow, before we take up anything major, we will allow, you do not have to have your members come in before 9 o'clock. If there's an issue of major significance, we will allow time for a caucus.
Senator President, Sedgwick. Senator Pogermiller, can we presume there's going to be a item of major interest? It seems so.
Senator Sedgwick, we are continuing discussions with the governor this weekend. We're hoping for a breakthrough. So I'm hopeful that we will have something major that we can do on Monday.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
And,
President.
And I think, members, we pretty much are done with general orders. I've been trying to warn people. That doesn't mean we won't be back there, but we're pretty much wrapped up here, and all we're doing now is dealing with the budget and conference committees. Again, that doesn't mean there will not be perhaps a few items, but my intent, and obviously I'm going to try to be as flexible as possible, but my intent is to have all work completed by Wednesday midnight. So that the only things left are a major budget item. Again, there's no hard and fast there because we obviously are dealing with the executive and the House, but you have all done excellent work, and we have cleared off pretty much everything we can do here, and we're going to really limit the items that we take up now. And we need to close this budget shortfall. Senator Michelle was correct earlier today, and that will be the focus, Senator Michelle. We will not be focusing on items not related to that, other than conference committees and perhaps one or two other things. So, Mr. President.
For that, Senator Limmer.
Point of personal privilege, Mr.
State
President.
Your point.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. As you may know, there's a number of citizens on the front lawn of the Capitol that are willing to talk to each one of us about certain policies that we have to make decisions on. Some of you they'd really like to visit with, and for some of you they'd really like to visit with. So I welcome you and encourage you to go out and meet the great people of the state of Minnesota.
The great, okay. Without objection, Senator Corrine, Marty, Sparks, Rosen, Johnson, and Paris will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Berglund from 11 to 11:25. Senator Bach from 11 to 11:20. Senator Erickson Ropes from noon to 12:15. And at 12:25 to the end of session. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, then with one additional announcement, I believe it's Senator Kielash's birthday today. Happy birthday, Senator. And with that, I would move the Senate adjourn till Monday, May 10th, 9 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.